So we're in week two of our series, Beyond the 52. And the reality is, and as we go through this life, so many times, you know, it's about, hey, I got to go to church on Sunday. But it's far more than going to church on Sunday. It's what we do beyond the Sundays, what we do, you know, outside of these walls, you know, where we're actually living for Jesus, you know, Monday through Saturday also. Not just, hey, it's Sunday morning, I got to go to church. And as I was thinking about this series, I really got to thinking, and if you look at today's thing, the whole title of the sermon is, why does the church exist? Well, why do we exist? Why do we do what we do and understand, you know, it's a small C. The small C is this church. It's this building. The big C is the kingdom. It's all of us Christians together. You know, but why does an individual church exist? You know, what's our calling? What's our purpose? What's our purpose here at FBC Lantana? And I would say, you know, far beyond any church website you look at, probably going to tell you the same thing. We're here to tell people about Jesus. We're here to care about those who are lost, who don't know Jesus, that we can introduce them to our Jesus, and that we're going to plant seeds, and hopefully, you know, these people will accept Jesus and become part of the church. You know, the big church, and maybe even the little church. One of the things that I always say is it's never about us. It's never about these four walls. It's not about this building where yes, it matters. We were given this building for a reason. We've got a place to come together for a reason, but it's bigger than us. It's bigger than this building, and it's all about advancing the kingdom. And like last week, I said, you know, we've got two primary goals. We need to honor God in everything that we do, and we need to advance the kingdom. You know, we don't need to advance FBC Lantana. It's a byproduct. What we do need to do is advance the kingdom of God by spreading the gospel, by being light, by being, you know, shining our light into the darkness, being the salt in the earth, you know, having that taste, that seasoning that goes with everything. And ultimately, I just think that as we do what we're called to do, we let God do the rest. We let God do the rest as we continue to move forward, and we do our part. I think it's interesting as we look back in God's Word. If you look in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people started the church. Now think about that. The day of Pentecost, 3,000 people started the church, Acts chapter 2. By Acts chapter 4, the number of men in the church were over 5,000. Now you think about that, that's just the men in the church. That's not counting women, it's not counting children. So in two chapters of the Bible, the church basically doubled in size, almost tripled in size. And as you sit back, you look like, wow, what were they doing? Well, one of the things that they say they were doing was that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And now I got thinking about that. I'm like, man, all these people, can you imagine that? Can you imagine going from a church of 3,000, even better, go from a church of 20 to like 100 overnight? That'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? Is God capable of doing it? Yes. But then that whole thing would be, oh, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? And I think that same thing happened with the early church. All of a sudden, it's like, man, we got all these baby Christians. What do? And I got to thinking about, you know, when my kids were born. You know, there's something about a baby being born. You know, it's all this, ooh, oh, my God, look, it's so precious. You know, and I'm going to break it or, you know, and then they actually let you leave the hospital with the baby. And you're like, I'm 20 years old. What am I going to do with this thing? You know, and then you leave the hospital and you get home and now you're trying to figure out how to, you know, why is it crying? I already fed it. I changed his diaper. Why is it crying? And you kind of go through this thing with the first child. By the second child, hey, they're on their own. you know, but the first child, you kind of nurture them a little bit more, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And then ultimately, what's the goal? For them to get out, right? Yeah, unfortunately, they do come back, but the goal is to get them out, you know, to raise them up. Well, I think the same thing happens inside a church. We have new Christians that come in. We tell people about our Jesus. People accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And then it's that next step. What do we do? How do we continue to nurture those who come into the house? And that's one of the things I want to look at today is, you know, why we exist. Yes, we exist to tell people about Jesus. Yes, we exist to be the light in this world. But as you look in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it actually said, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So the reality is, part of our purpose is to win the lost. So that is part of our purpose. But then the other part of it is we need to build up the saved. We need to build each other up and help to nurture each other in our walk with Jesus. It's not a, you know, hey, I accepted Jesus, and that's cool. Now I get to continue to live my life the way I want to live it and do the same things. You know, it's not a get-out-of-hell-free card. You know, it requires work. It requires something of you after you accept Jesus. Now, granted, your works will never save you, but at the same time, as someone who's following Jesus or who accepts Jesus, you want to be different. He's going to point out the sin in your life. You're going to want to get rid of that sin. So there's going to be changes in you automatically when you accept Jesus. And part of the job of the church and part of us is to build each other up as we walk this life and understand that each of us should be involved not only in our own personal growth, but also in helping others in theirs. You know, and as you look through the New Testament, you see the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul talks about young Timothy a lot. You see, the reality was Timothy was the student of Paul. Each one of us should have a Timothy in our life. Each one of us should have someone that we're speaking truth into to help grow them in their personal walk with Jesus. But now at the same time, you can't always just be pouring out. Trust me, I can tell you, you can't always pour out. Someone needs to pour in. So we all also need a Paul in our life. We need someone who's pouring into us. Because the reality is all we do, all we're doing is teaching and helping others, we're going to drain ourselves and we're not going to be able to do what God called us to do. So we always got to make sure we're being filled up as we empty ourselves into somebody else. So I want to look at what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Ephesus this morning. We're going to be in chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. If you don't have a Bible with you, don't worry. There is one in the back of the pew in front of you. And in the back of the pew in front of you, it's on page 1345. But as always, it will be up here on the screen. So I want to encourage all of you to all rise if you're able for the reading and the hearing of God's word as we give reverence to him. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament promotes the growth of the body, for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. You may be seated. One of the things I noticed when I read that scripture is there's some key phrases in there. As you think about life, work of ministry, unity, maturity, no longer little children, building each other up. How much time do you spend building up someone else each day? Think about that. Do you take time each day to build up someone else? Maybe on your job, in your home, in your workplace? Yeah, one thing that I do know is people who are, through like Celebrate Recovery or any kind of recovery, yeah, we're really good at this because we already do this like, hey, I've got this buddy. I got someone to hold me accountable. I've got this accountability person in my life. And not only are you holding someone accountable, but someone's holding you accountable at the same time. So you kind of say, hey, I'm real good at this building each other up. But how are we at building each other up in the Lord? Building up each other in what God's word calls us to do. You know, we're real quick with a coworker. Hey, we'll help a coworker. We're going to help, you know, whether it's if it's a little kid in sports or whatever it is, we're going to help build them up. But what about building each other up in the Lord? Strengthen our faith together in who God called us to be. And I think, first of all, it's vitally important that we as Christians, that we do continue to grow. You know, none of us know it all. Even though some of us may think we know it all, none of us know it all. You know, the Word of God is constantly changing as it's living and it's breathing. And I don't think any of us will ever know all of it. I mean, anytime I think I know all of it, I read the book of Job and I realize just how much I don't know. But I think we need to continue to understand that as we grow, a growing Christian is not as vulnerable as a Christian or an isolated Christian. Think of it like this. When Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness for 40 days, and he was tempted by Satan. And the reality is, when you accept Jesus as your Lord, guess who's going to come and tempt you too? You're not immune to it. The reality is, if Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus passed. He was able to beat that temptation. How y'all have beaten this temptation of Satan? Some days better than others. Some days I'm really good. Other days I fail miserably. Yeah? Anyone else in that boat with me or am I alone? No, say, okay. I wasn't even going to ask you to show hands. I had hands going up. Hey, we're amongst family here, okay? That's what we're here for. But the reality is we all fall short. And in growing in our Christian walk, it helps us to be better at it. Jesus avoided the temptations of Satan because he used God's word, which meant he had to know it. He had to know what it said. Yeah, I think back of in Matthew, Jesus tells a parable of the wheat and the weeds. And basically it goes, this farmer, he planted his good seed, these good wheat seeds, and during the night, the evil one came along and planted seeds of weeds. And as they started to grow up, you really couldn't tell. They kind of looked the same. But as they got taller, you could definitely see you had wheat and you had weeds. And one of the servants was like, hey, let's go pull the weeds. And the master said, no. Because if you pull the weed, you may pull the wheat with it. And if you pull the wheat too soon, it's going to wither away. It's going to die. So the master said, you know what? Wait till the harvest, and we'll pull them and separate them at that time. And as I look at this and I think about it, you know, that's really how life is. There's wheat and there's weeds. And as we go through this life until the harvest comes, until Jesus comes back, good and bad are going to be grown alongside each other in this world. There's going to be weed and there's going to be wheat. The question is, which one are you? And the reality is, if we try and just pull that weed, that's it, I'm pulling this weed and I'm going to get rid of it. If we're not strong enough in our faith, if we're not mature enough in what we're doing, we could end up dying and withering away ourselves. But that's where we're able to come together and know that, hey, we have this common goal. We know where we're going to end up, and we can kind of stick together and do what we're called to do. So I think, you know, it's vital that we we continue to grow, that we spend time in His Word. I think another thing that you see with a growing Christian is they're full of joy. Now think about that. Have you, you know, besides having a bad day, most of the time as a Christian, I'm joyful. I am. I'm joyful. But what I do find out is those days that I'm not really joyful, that I'm kind of maybe grumbling or this or that, it's generally them days or where a couple days I haven't spent time in His Word. Well, I've let the world, them weeds get into my life and start controlling what I'm doing. And then I end up grumbling and complaining and I let it steal my joy. But if we're growing in Christ, if we're spending time in His Word, if we're doing what He calls us to do, there's joy that comes with it. And if we're able to live that joyful life, we're going to be different than the world calls us to be. And people are going to see that we're different. And when people see that we're different, what are they going to ask? What? Why are you so full of joy? Because I have Jesus. Here, let me tell you about my Jesus. And it's interesting how people can tell by how you are and the way that you act, if you're a Christian or not. Actually, part of the conversation came up this morning. Someone made the comment that, yeah, the people that I'm around, that they always ask, are you a Christian? Because of the joy that's inside and because of the work ethic that's inside the person. People can tell if you're a follower of Christ or not. And that leads us into doing what God calls us to do. Telling people about our Jesus and continue going on. And it also is that good reminder that you're growing in your faith. That you're growing as a Christian because you've got that joy and other people are seeing it. I think growing Christians are willing. Willing Christians, we're willing to serve. We're willing to serve others. You know, a Christian who's growing will come in and say, hey, that's okay. Hey, I'll hand out the sermon notes today. You don't need to ask, I got it. A growing Christian will be like, hey, you know what? We need to set up tables and chairs. I'm right there to help you set up. Hey, whatever, you know, the willing Christian is the one, and the growing Christian is the one you're going to see serving inside the church. Because reality is, if you're serving inside the church, guess what? It goes beyond 52. Because we're here more than 52 days a year. Believe it or not, the church is open more than 52 days a year. That sounds like it might shock somebody. But the reality is, we are here. And there's always things to do. I've seen people willingly come out and even bring people with them, and they'll clean. They'll actually, instead of using a leaf blower, which is my number one, I'm going to use a leaf blower. They'll actually use a broom and clean this entire hallway out. They'll dust everything down. I'm like, I'm hitting it with a blower and a hose. And, you know, so they go above and beyond. And I've seen people come out and, you know, working in the clothes closet, working in the food pantry. Even on days like when the food gets delivered, there are people that come out to help sort the food and put it away. Yeah, and those are the people that you see are growing Christians because they're not going to stop from serving. They're not going to stop from doing what they're called to do. A growing Christian gives, not out of being an arm being twisted, but they give because it's going towards the best work in the world, the Lord's work. Doing God's work is the best work we can do. And giving to help support God's work is something that you see a growing Christian do. And I think finally, a growing Christian has faith and doesn't collapse when things go wrong. In the same thing in Matthew, Jesus tells a parable about the farmer sowing seeds. And he puts it on four different grounds. And one of them, he puts it down and it's on this rocky ground and it starts to take root and it starts to grow. And then as soon as the sun comes and storms come, it withers away and it dies because it never had a chance to get solid roots. And unfortunately, there are some Christians like that, that they end up in the rocks and they really don't get their roots in. They've accepted Jesus and they don't really grow in their relationship with Christ. And then when hard times come, they kind of wither away. All of a sudden, you don't see them anymore. And you know, they're not in church. They're not in Bible studies. And then when you finally see them, they're living the same life they used to live, and you wonder why? Because they never got planted. They never let their life with Jesus take roots. And we need to allow our life with Jesus to take roots, and that's where all of us come in together. Taking that time to be together and make sure that our faith is deep enough that when hard times come, because trust me, hard times are going to come, that you don't just wither away and quit. That you don't just, oh, this isn't for me, and you move on, and man, I like my old life was so much easier. You know, during this past week, I've been reading through Exodus, and I think about, you know, here you see the Jews led by God. And all they did was complain. They were held as slaves in Egypt. And all of a sudden it was, you should have just taken us back. Why'd you bring us into the desert for us to die? You brought us here to be thirsty. Now we're going to be hungry. Now we're going to be killed. All they did was complain. Y'all know people like that? There's some complainers inside the Christian community too, isn't there? But the reality is that we still need to move forward. We need to do what God called us to do. We need to continue to grow in all that we do and move forward. So, of course, you'd say, okay, that's good, Pastor, but what's some ways for me to grow? Well, one of the biggest ways to grow is actually opening up the Bible. Open it up. Actually read it. Actually see what it says. And besides that, getting to a life group, into a small group, you know, way back in Genesis, it says man was not meant to be alone. We are better together. We're better when we can do life together, and that's why we have small groups or what we consider life groups here. You know, we've got all different ways where you can have these opportunities to dig in and study God's Word. You know, of course, we study God's Word right here. 52 weekends a year, we're right here on Sunday. But we want to talk about beyond that 52. So beyond that 52, we have Tuesday night prayer. We have Wednesday night midweek Bible study. Thursday night, we got youth for middle and high schoolers. And Sunday morning, we have men's and women's studies. We also have FBC kids for kindergarten through third grade during the service. So there's plenty of opportunities to get connected and actually dig into God's Word. Besides your own time each and every day, opening up God's Word and taking that time to read into it. And as you do that, those are ways that you grow, not only in your relationship with Jesus, but through getting connected with other groups, it helps you grow with each other. You know, there's going to be some people who know a lot more than you do. There's going to be some people that you thought knew more than you, just to find out that they actually don't know as much as you know. You know, some of us retain knowledge better than others. But the reality is we can all grow together. And when we do life together, there's that joy that comes with it. There's joy that comes with being together and doing especially what God has called us to do instead of just doing what we want to do. And as you look through God's Word tells us there's a lot that we should do for each other. We need to love each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to bear each other's burdens, extend hospitality to each other, forgive one another. And it goes on things that we should do for each other. You can't do that if you're alone. You can't do that if you're not planted. You know, and so I want to encourage you as you grow. These are ways you can grow by getting involved in life groups, having that fellowship and having that deeper, stronger relationship with other Christians and with other Christ followers. Using your gifts. Using the gift that God called you to use. You know, I talked about it last week, and I even said that, you know, on the sermon notes today, there's a website. Find out what your gift is and actually use it. Use your gift to glorify God, to glorify and advance His kingdom. And the only way you're going to know what your gift is by sitting down and kind of figuring it out. And all of us have different gifts. Each one in here has a different gift. You know, not everyone is called to stand and speak in front of other people. But there's people who are very good at hospitality. There are people who are very good at praying for people. I said last week, you know, those people who are the knees, them prayers, man, that's what keeps us going. Them are the people that, hey, life isn't going right for me. I'm going to them certain people. Yeah, you got the tech people behind the scenes. You never really recognize them until something goes wrong. All of a sudden, let my microphone go out. Then you recognize the tech people. All of a sudden, something isn't going on the screen or where it's not, you know, synchronized. Then you notice the tech people. But there are people who are gifted doing what they do back there. And the reality is, we need to do what God calls us to do. And there are times when God may call us to move on and go someplace else. And that's okay. The reality is we got to do what God called us to do and get connected and stay connected to the body of Christ. And I've said it since I've been here. It doesn't have to be here. The body of Christ is so much bigger than this church. But we need to get connected and we need to stay connected with each other to build each other up. So what's some evidence that you're growing? You know, how can we know whether or not we're growing? And I think the reality is the first thing you know when you're growing is when you're non-reliant on the pastor. Let me say that again. You're growing when you're not reliant on me. I think this is my favorite part of this sermon. Because here's the reality. Guess what? I can't do everything. I can't teach every Bible study. I can't do every life group. I can't do it all. So there's things you need to be able to do on your own. Guess what? That means someone may have to step up and lead a Bible study besides me. Someone may have to go unclog a toilet besides me. You got to be able to live not relying on clergy, and not just clergy, but also the leaders. The reality is there are certain people who, well, if the pastor's not teaching, I'm not going. Which you got to ask yourself, where is your devotion? Is it to the pastor or is it to the Lord? Because God uses all kinds of people in all different ways. And that's why one of the things that I always want to do is, hey, you know what? I may lead this group now, but I'm going to train somebody. Because guess what? Next time it comes around, guess who's not going to lead it? Because we need to not be that reliant on the pastor. Because then, guess what? If I'm doing everything and I'm constantly pouring out and no one's pouring into me, what's going to happen? I'm going to wither and die. Need to not be reliant on the pastor to do everything. Everyone in here is gifted by God. Everyone in here can read God's word, has the Holy Spirit inside of them, and is able to teach others. Now, if you're not gifted at being a teacher, don't try and do it. Don't try and do a gift that doesn't belong to you. Don't try and say, well, I want this, and it's more of a power thing than it is a reality of you're capable of doing it. You need to be capable of doing everything you want to do, not just bits and pieces of it. Because if you only do bits and pieces of it, it's not going to turn out good and it's going to hurt other people. Be fully devoted to what you're doing. The next thing I think you know that you're growing is when you regularly attend worship. So that means out of 52 times a year, you're actually here 52 times a year. So that's a good start. Because the reality, when you look at surveys today, they actually say someone is considered a Christian if they go to church 3 times a year. Think about that, 3 times a year. Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day. Christmas, Easter, a funeral. As we get older, we do more funerals than weddings, just so you know. But 3 times a year, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? Here I'm teaching, man, it's got to be beyond the 52. So it's beyond 52 Sundays is what we do in our whole life. But according to the world and according to what they say, if you attend church 3 times a year, you're a Christian. That's crazy, ain't it? How about you're a Christian when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord? And if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, guess what? You're going to want to attend church more than 3 times a year. You're going to want to be a part of it beyond the 52, doing more than what we're called to do. And, you know, I think it's funny. I remember back in the day, there used to always be this joke, you know, Saturday's coming, you know, Saturday was bath day. You remember that? I'm taking a bath one day a week, and it's on Saturday. So y'all remember that? So I'm glad I'm not the only one. I got to thinking, man, I'm going to say this. People going to look at me like I'm crazy. I got people, oh, I remember that. Here's the reality. You know why Saturday was bath day? Because Sunday was church day. So they took a bath on Saturday so they could smell good on Sunday, right? And then what else did you do? You put out your nicest clothes. You made sure they were ironed because you want to look good and smell good coming to church, right? Man, have times changed. People come to church in pajamas. Now, I'm going to tell you, I say it all the time. We're going to accept you the way you are. Come as you are. I preach, you know. But think about how many people since COVID haven't walked inside a church because it's so convenient just to sit at home and watch it online. It's so convenient just to stay in my pajamas and watch online. You know, you mean I don't even have to get out of bed? And what happens is that we don't put the reverence where it should be. We don't look at attending regularly to the worship services. The reality is, think about this. While you are in this room, you're sitting with the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And you come here to have a meeting with our God. That's why we come to church. We come to church to meet with our God. I know I come here every single Sunday to meet God. I know He's going to be here. I know He's going to be here. I know the Spirit's going to be moving. And I come here to meet with Him. Every single day I come in this sanctuary and I sit right here. And I meet with God. Every single day. Because the reality is, I can't go my life without taking that time with Him. Because if I try and do my life on my own, it ain't going to be pretty. I'm going to do things, say things that I don't want to do, that I don't want to say. So I've got to take that time to be with Him and come and worship Him and be here to be a part of it. Also think that you're growing if you regularly study God's work and you have a meaningful prayer life. You're taking time every day to open up His Word, to read His Word, to dig deeper into it. Taking that time with prayer. You know, it's great that we come in here and we read the Word and we dig into what the Word says and how we should live our lives and what we should do and how we should apply it. But the reality is we all need to do that on our own. You need to take that time with personal Bible study. Take that time reading and allow the Spirit to speak to you. Allow God to speak to you directly. And have those times in prayer when you're having that conversation with God. So you're not only talking to Him, but He's talking to you. And you're able to have that time together. I believe if you're an effective Christian, you have an effective Christian witness. If you're actually growing in your faith, we got to be growing in our faith. We should know more about God today than we did yesterday. And the reality is, it don't matter if you've been walking with Jesus for 70 years or 7 minutes. You should be walking with Him, which means you're moving. You're going forward. You're doing something. And as you're doing that, you're taking that time to spend with Him. You're learning more about Him. You're learning more about yourself because of Him. Because of the relationship. You're learning more about what this world has and what the world says and how much it goes against God's word. You know, I read a story once about this king, and this king wanted a son. And he went many years trying to have a son, and finally the Lord blessed him and he got a son. And the king rejoiced, the queen and the whole town, the whole village rejoice that this king finally had a son to be the heir to his throne. Well, when the son was 6 years old, he fell off of a horse and was partially paralyzed. And everyone in the whole kingdom was, you know, they couldn't believe that here, you know, he finally had a son and now the son was partially paralyzed. Well, the king had a different outlook. The king got one of the sculptors and had them make a sculpture of a man standing strong and straight. And every day he wheeled his son out in that wheelchair to look at this statue. So every day this son looked at this statue of this man standing tall, straight, and strength all around him, to the point that the son's spine started to grow straight. He started to get strength back in his legs till one day he stood up in front of that statue. And when everyone looked, they realized that this boy who was crippled became exactly what he focused on every day. He became the man just like in that statue. We do the same thing in our life. God has called us to look to Jesus, to read about him, to be like him, to be more like Christ each and every day. And if we take that time each and every day to spend time in his word, to spend time with other Christians, we will actually start to be more like Jesus. Because you're going to become what you see. You're going to do what you see in front of you. If you're still looking at stuff on the internet you shouldn't be looking at, if you're still shooting or drinking or whatever it is you may be doing, whatever you're doing in your life, that's what's going to control your life. Now, if you take that time and open up his word, you take that time, spend with other believers in Jesus, guess what? You're going to start being more like Jesus. Those things that are sin in your life, you're going to turn away from, you're going to put behind, and you're truly going to be able to say, I am different than I used to be. You're able to repent from that sin and move forward and be more like Jesus. That's what we're called to do. That's what each one of us is called to do. But where is your focus? What are you focusing on in your life? Are you focusing on Jesus or are you focusing on something else? Are we growing in Christ? Are we growing as a church trying to be more like Jesus? Or are we just going through the motions of 52 weeks a year? We need to go above and beyond. We need to be more than what we're called, what we think we're called to be. Jesus has a plan for each one of us, and it's bigger than any of us can ever imagine. If you think of the biggest dream you have in your life, consider it small compared to what Jesus has for you. His plan is so much bigger than ours. But we've got to come together and do what he called us to do. So why does the church exist? Part of our purpose is to win the lost and to build up each other, to build up other Christians. Think about it. When was the last time you actually built up another Christian? In most cases, we knock them down. We treat them like the world. We treat each other just like the people in the world treat each other. We should be different. We're called to be different. We need to tell the lost about our Jesus. And if you're going to tell the lost about your Jesus, you need to know who your Jesus is. And you're going to find out about him by taking time in his word. Get involved in a life group and whatever it may be. And you know what? As we continue to grow, as we continue to move, we're going to have different life groups. I can tell you now, in my heart of hearts, and I'm going to do everything in my power to do it, is before the end of this year, we will have a Celebrate Recovery here at FBC Lantana. Because let me tell you, there are people in this neighborhood and in this town who need to be in Celebrate Recovery. There are people who have hurts, hang-ups, and habits that need a place to come, that they're going to get the love of Jesus and help in that recovery also. And what better place to do it? I mean, we already have Archstone Behavioral meets here. They meet here every Thursday night. Let the house of the Lord, let his house, the Father's house, do what it's called to do. Change and impact the world. Accept the people where they are, love them, help to build them up, help them to grow, and help them not only to know Jesus, but to become a follower of Jesus, picking up their cross daily and doing what he called them to do. That's what we're here for. That's what we are here for. That is part of our purpose, not only to win the lost, but to build up each one of us who are saved. And each of us should be involved not only in our own relationship, but helping each other in theirs. That's the big part right there. You mean I gotta help John? I got all this gray hair because of John. Are you kidding me? Mike lost his hair because of John. But the reality is that's what we're called to do, right? We're called to be there for each other. And guess what? Sometimes we're messy. Sometimes it's hard. In this world, wheat and weeds grow together. The day Jesus returns, Jesus is going to separate the wheat from the weeds. Which one are you? There's always going to be evil in this world. It's always going to be right by our side. And Satan is always going to tempt you. No matter how long you've been following Jesus, no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter what you're doing, you will still get attacked each and every day. Get ready for it, because it's going to happen. And, of course, part of it is, you know, like I said, telling people about Jesus. So I'd be amiss if I didn't tell you about Jesus. In this world, the world tells us you're messed up. The world will tell you you're jacked up. The world will tell you you're not good enough. You're never going to be good enough. Your own family may say, oh, you're done. May kick you out. May say words that harm you, that cut like a knife. You may be going through your whole life saying, man, this Jesus God never accept me. I'm too far gone. Well, I got good news for you. God's word says that we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. So look to the person to your left and your right. Guess what? They're a sinner just like you. That's right, even the pastor's wife is a sinner just like you. Okay? Every one of us are sinners. See, the problem is as humans we rate each other's sins. Oh, your sin's worse than mine. In God, sin is sin. Think about that. Sin is sin. If it's a white lie or a murder, it's still sin. Now for us, we're going, oh, it's just a white lie. For God, it's still a sin. Sin is sin. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But yet God loved us enough that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. That's love. And God's word says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Like, Pastor, that's too easy. You mean all I got to do is confess Jesus as my Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead? Yeah, that's it. It's not that plus more. It's that. Now, the reality is, he is the Lord of your life. You're not saying, I ask Jesus into my heart. Bless my heart? No. You're asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life. That means he is your master. He is the one who decides what you do. Now, he's still going to give you free will. He's still going to allow you to mess up. But man, when you mess up and that Holy Spirit comes knocking, and you, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I fell backwards. I did it again. Lord, forgive me. I won't do it again. 2 minutes later, you do it again. Reality is he's still there to forgive you because he loves you that much. He paid for those sins on the cross. Every sin that you've ever done, any sin that you're going to do that you don't even know you're going to do yet, He already paid the price for it. He died on the cross for that. That's how much He loved you. So it doesn't matter how messed up you are. It doesn't matter how jacked up you are. Know that you're loved. You're loved by the Creator of this world. You're not insignificant in His eyes. And all He wants from you is for you to acknowledge Him, to spend time with Him, to be more like Him. And the only way you can do that is by spending time in His Word, spending time with each other, spending time getting to know who it is that is the Lord of your life. Man, we'll do all kinds of crazy stuff to find out about someone we may have a crush on. Man, some of y'all are better than CSI. Find out everything about the person. Why don't you take that time to find out everything about Jesus, the one who died for you? Amen? Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, we thank you that you created this body of Christ that goes way beyond the 52. Lord, that we can actually get together, come together as a family and move mountains. Lord, we can come together and get to know you, get to know each other, and truly see what family is about. Lord, some of us, there's people who, family, what's that? Well, Lord, your family, we're called to be different. And yes, Lord, there's weeds among us. But Lord, there's also wheat. There's good with the bad. Lord, help us to see your goodness in each of us. Help us to see your goodness in each other. Lord, help us to grow, to be obedient to what you call us to be. And Lord, that we will come together, be unified, that we will build each other up, that we will seek to do what you call us to do. And Lord, that we will love the way that you loved us. And Lord, that we will not only tell people about you, but we will grow in our knowledge of you. And that we will seek to glorify you in all that we do. And we make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us here today at FBC Lantana for Church Online. And if you enjoyed what you saw today, I'd just like to ask you to go ahead, go to our website and help support this ministry as we try and outreach and reach the lost for Jesus Christ. And you can just go to our website, fbclantana.com/give, and you can make an online donation right there. Again, I encourage you to get connected to a local church, and especially if during this message you felt compelled to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, definitely go tell somebody. Let someone know, because that is the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. And from there, get connected to a local church. Hey, we would love to provide you with some resources with that. You can go to our website, fbclantana.com, and on the very front page, you say, "Give my life to Jesus." Click on there, and at the bottom of there, there's some links and some good information for you. And just wanted to say, welcome to the family.